Good morning. It's a little more nerve-wracking being up here than down in the seat telling the children's story. Okay, actually, a couple weeks ago, I went to visit some friends and strangers alike in the Ellisburg Church. I don't know how many of you know where Ellisburg is, but for those of you who don't, it is up near Pulaski, or about an hour and a half north of Syracuse. And the reason I went to the Ellisburg Church was because there's a group known as This Generation, and it was formed by a group of young people ages 20 to 30 who are very anxious to finish God's work here on earth. And we were gathering together to simply ask God for his help so that he could use us to finish his work here. So I'm standing here today to speak to you all what the Holy Spirit had taught me on this little venture. The town was small. I must have driven through it at least twice before I realized I had even been through Ellisburg and ended up miles out in the wrong direction. This was farm country. There were no road signs. There was no stores. There was absolutely not one person I saw that was not in a cemetery. And sometimes you had to slow down in order to avoid the chickens that spontaneously happened to fly across the road. I honestly felt that I was driving through a ghost town, and I was beginning to get very frustrated because, you know those, directions you get off the internet, the MapQuest or something? Well, I had followed that exactly, word for word, and still didn't end up at my destination, which was the Ellisburg Seventh-day Adventist Church. When I finally reached the church, I confess I was vastly disappointed. I wondered if I had even arrived at the correct address. The windows looked as if they were boarded. The church itself had not been painted in years and seemed frail, as if one solid gust of wind could blow the whole thing to the ground. There were no parking spaces, and the front yard was dug up and fragments of stone that lay haphazardly around. The cement stairs were crumbling. I could not imagine that this was where I was supposed to be going. So I drove around the narrow streets with no road signs and found the post office. I'm very thankful that the post office is open early on Saturday mornings, or I might have had a difficult time. And I asked the gentleman inside where the Seventh-day Adventist Church was located. He looked at me, smiled, and told me what I had been dreading. There were only two churches in Ellisburg. One was right next to the other. There was a Methodist church, which was in excellent repair. And then the other was a Seventh-day Adventist church, which was the one that I just described. I admit that I was bitterly disappointed. Surely the Lord's house was some place that should have been even more grand than the Methodist church next door, as if outward appearances had mattered. I had at that moment failed to remember the verse that is found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. What I discovered later in the day proved this verse more than I can ever have imagined. And when others began to arrive late, since no one really seemed to be in much of a hurry in Ellisburg, I felt such an urging to attend, and I had contemplated actually turning around and going home. But it was just an overwhelming and powerful emotion, and I can only attribute it to the Holy Spirit that I actually got out of my car and walked inside. The inside of the church sported a beautiful stained glass window with an image of God. Some of the windows were broken and needed repair. There was no heat, the walls were cracked, and the church itself needed some tender, loving care. The church had not been open in years, actually. The New York Conference had shut it down because they only had one or two members. What is so inspiring to me is that these one or two members had been praying for years that this church would somehow reopen. And that is how they ended up being able to bring a Bible worker to the small town of Ellisburg to help revive the Lord's church. During the service, this one member was asked to say a few words. And he actually cried when he stood up and he said, "You know, I've prayed so long for this, and my prayer has finally been answered." And, you know, he had such faith to believe that the Lord would answer his prayer, even though he didn't know when. He just kept praying for the Lord to answer his prayer, and it finally was. I can't really describe this service very well, only that there was a feeling of peace and happiness, a feeling of fellowship that I have really never felt before. It's a feeling that one would look for in a church family, but a feeling that is also, unfortunately, absent in many of our churches today. Anyway, the church hired a Bible worker named Scott, and he gave a sermon found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Many of you are aware of the story about King Jehoshaphat and how he and many of those gathered with him had assembled and besought the Lord for victory against the inhabitants of Moab and the children of Ammon. This is when the Lord delivered Israel without the king or anyone else even going into battle. In fact, they had stood on a hill and sung praises to the Lord all morning, and the Lord had given them victory. All Israel had to do was ask, and the Lord had delivered them. My heart was so touched by the sincerity of this young Bible worker as he stood up there and told this story. He told it with such enthusiasm, and his face glowed. I'm not kidding. He couldn't seem to stop the words that were just tumbling out one after another. He couldn't stop at one verse. He had to read the entire chapter because he said every word was important. And you can tell that he loved the Lord and that the Lord was with him. I'm not saying that everyone needs to jump up and down and raise their arms and to know that that you love the Lord. That's not the love that I'm talking of. Love is not just an emotion. It's a way of life by demonstration. When you truly love the Lord, you won't have to fake a smile or strive to say something nice to someone else. We'll not have to preach sermons in order for someone to know that we love the Lord. This will come so naturally that we might not even recognize it in ourselves, but other people will know. They can tell by the way we talk, by the way we dress, by the way we treat others and ourselves, that something is different. When visitors came to Ellisburg, the Bible worker introduced himself, and every church member and visitor stood up from their seats and introduced each other so there would be no strangers in the house of the Lord. Where everyone could feel welcome, no one felt judged, we were all equal. And that's such a bracing thought, especially when some visitors decide not to return to church because someone said something offensive or had ignored them completely. Mr. Hashi once said that we were all a little weird. So let's not judge one another. Matthew 7:1 said, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." After the church service, 25 young individuals gathered together for a day of prayer. We took turns praying and reading from the scriptures and singing praises to God. Do you know what we prayed about? We didn't pray for ourselves. We didn't pray for the things we wanted or thought we needed. We prayed for each other. We prayed for the residents of Ellisburg, that God would touch the hearts of these individuals and help them feel a need for Christ. It was such a rewarding experience, such a blessing to pray for someone else, that the Lord would be with them and use them to finish his work here on earth. I would ask all of you to try this sometime and see what blessings come your way, to experience the peace that will wash over you when you give up selfish, eccentric ways and pray for someone else who is in need. If you feel nothing, I earnestly pray that you look inside yourselves to find what is missing in your life. Later, we were sent door to door, two by two, just as Jesus sent his disciples two by two, and just asked, inviting the community to visit the church service sometime. We did not preach at them. We did not ask if they wanted a Bible study. We did not beat them over the head with a Bible, as the saying goes. We just asked if they would like to visit. They didn't have to wear a dress or a suit. They could come in blue jeans if they had nothing else to wear. It did not matter what denomination they belonged to. All were welcome, and would be welcomed warmly. One of the women my friend and I asked stated she belonged to the Methodist church next door, but that she had always been interested to know what the inside of the Seventh-day Adventist church had looked like. And once someone even seemed passively interested, we were to go and report to Scott, the Bible worker, and he would follow up with that person and personally visit them. You know, this experience made me think of our church. Are visitors welcome here? What do they see? Will they see the Christian love and happiness that will shine through us if Christ is in our life? Do we reach out to these guests and ask them to sit with us in the sanctuary or make sure they are sitting with someone at lunch? Or do they see a bunch of sour pickles? There will always be tares growing amongst the wheat, but let us make sure that there are not more tares than wheat in our church. Do they see everyone else not welcoming anybody? Do they get the feeling they're being judged or looked down upon? Do they see the members clumped around each other? Perhaps they see contention between our members. Do they feel isolated, sitting by themselves? I admit freely that I'm guilty of everything I've just said. And it's not just a problem I've seen in adults, but in children also who follow by our example. What example are we setting for them? We have become lukewarm, neither hot or cold. Have you ever taken a drink of water that you thought was cold and wasn't? I would like to ask that we turn to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 14. This was an amazing passage giving us hope, giving me hope of fashioning our character for Christ. Chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to his churches. You see, we need to repent. You know, the great hope is that we can change everything if we but ask for the Lord to enter our hearts. Matthew 7:7 said, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh will receive. There are so many people who are watching us closely, especially now when the Lord's second coming is right on our doorstep. They are watching our behavior. They are watching how we interact with others. They are watching how we dress. They are watching our very characters. Are we setting a good example? Or are we driving people away? I'm not sure about the rest of you, but I do not wish to stand before Jesus on the day of judgment, weighed in the balances and found wanting. For the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and there is only one person and one alone who can open up your hearts to Jesus, who is already knocking. and that one person is yourself.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, yes, washer, whiter than snow, may we one day have the robe of righteousness around us. May we stand beside Christ as the redeemed. We pray that we will go from this place on fire as the young people of the church are on fire. We are representing Christ, the Creator, the Savior and Redeemer of the world, and we need to be ready for the second coming. We need to help others to be ready also, Father. Thank you that we are your representative. In Jesus' precious name, amen.